们已经读了今天要分享的经文，讲题是觉醒吧。那么我想大家也知道，再过两周就是11月8日是美国的大选日。
As we have known, in 2 weeks, on November the 8th, we will have the general election.
那么我记得今年七月有来分享的时候呢，有提到过这次大选的这个重要性啊。
So this July, when I shared with you the passage, I talked about the importance of this election.
除了总统、副总统，还要选34位参议员、435位众议员、12位州长，有各州的众多的立法提案。
So in this election, we're not only going to elect the president and vice president, but also 34 senators, 435 House representatives, 12 governors, and also. There will be also a number of legislative propositions.
那么更重要的是，今年选出来的总统呢，立刻就有一个机会提名一位美国最高法院的法官。
More importantly, this president will name another Supreme Court justice.
那么最高法院目前是8位法官呢，自由派跟保守派呢是势均力敌。
Now there is a kind of a balance between the liberal and conservative side in the Supreme Court.
那么这位新法官可能就是未来的一个关键票了。
So this new Supreme Court justice will have a vital role in the court.
那么譬如说，是不是可以按照个人的这种自认为的性别去选择啊，性别的偏好选择上男厕所还是女厕所啊？
This justice can influence issues such as the use of restroom according to one's own gender identity.
这种事情到告到这个最高法院，大概就是时间的问题。
It's only a matter of time.
那么所以呢，这将是对美国和世界有重大影响的选举。
So this will be an important election, not to the United States, but to the whole world.
每一次美国的大选，最被瞩目的当然就是总统的选举。
Of course, the most eye-catching one is the presidential election.
那这一次总统选举的特点呢？不只是令人瞩目哈。
So this election is not only eye-catching.
而且是令人害怕。
It's scary.
两党所推出来的候选人，让很多选民，特别是基督徒，面对很痛苦的抉择。
The two nominees of the two parties make many voters put them in dilemma.
Yeah, 两边互相撕咬哈，一边指责，另一边是疯子。
One side accuse the other side being a madman.
另一边反指对方是骗子。
The other side saying you're a liar.
所以呢，教会自然就呼吁基督徒呢要为美国大选迫切祷告。
So naturally, the churches are calling the followers to pray earnestly for this election.
那么我们可以确定啊，选出来的总统必定是民主党或者是共和党所推选的人。
We are sure that the president will be either the Republican or the Democratic nominee.
一定是这两个之一了啊。
Yeah, one of them.
因为从1854年共和党成立以来就是如此。
Because it has been so since 1854 when the Republican Party was founded.
从来没有过另外的这个候选人当选过的。
There has been no exception.
那么我事到如今，我们要怎么祷告呢
？So today, how should we pray for it?
求神从这两个人中间选合他心意的人吗
？Should we ask God to choose the candidate of of his own heart.
你觉得哪一个合神的心意
？Who do you think that is agreeable to God?
那样的祷告不是在为难神吗
？Aren't we embarrassing God?
如果神反问说，为什么我只能从这两个人中间选一个呢
？If God asks us, why do I have to pick from one of these two?
那么他如果问我们说，请你告诉我，你认为哪个应该是合我心意的
？You tell me which one is agreeable to me.
我不知道该怎么回答，我不晓得你知不知道该怎么回答。
I don't have the answer.
我们也应该注意到。
We should also notice.
传统价值不再被这次大选视为重要的议题了。
The traditional values are no longer important issues in this election.
同性恋婚姻按照个人性别的偏好使用男女厕所好像根本都不是问题了。
Issues such as same-sex marriage and the use of restroom according to one's own gender identity are no longer problems.
今天的美国的基督徒，至少重视圣经价值观的基督徒，大概都会有一个困惑。
Many American Christians, especially those who truly attach importance to biblical values, may find it puzzling.
在奉神的名，以圣经为基础建立的美国，
in a nation founded on the biblical values,
我们怎么会沦落至此啊？
Why are we where we are?
现在我们来看看神的话是怎么回答这个问题。
Let's take a look how God answered this question.
先看我们刚刚读的六到八节。
Let's take a look at verse 6 to 8 first.
第六节说，敬虔加上知足的心便是大利了。
Verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain.
意思是敬虔必须有知足的心才有真正的益处。
It means godliness needs contentment to be real gain.
也就是说呢，知足的心应该是虔诚的一部分。
In other words, contentment is part of godliness.
如果没有虔诚心啊，实在不能算是虔诚。
Without contentment, it's not godly.
那么第七节呢，我们应该呢都同意啊。
We should all agree with verse 7.
其实也就是传统的智慧。
Actually, it's also part of the conventional wisdom.
那么经文它的英文翻译呢，其实还就其实就是我们中国人所说的“生不带来，死不带去”嘛。
It goes as a Chinese saying: At birth we bring nothing; at death we take nothing.
啊，那么呢，第八节呢说呢，只要有衣有食啊，就当知足。那么衣食呢，是今天生活最基本的需要嘛？啊。
In verse 8, it says, we should be content as if we have clothing and food, which are the basic needs of life.
衣呢，这个字的原文是遮蔽。
Clothing literally means covering.
原来也有住所的意思。
It can also be translated as dwelling.
那当然，过去生活的基本需要，食衣住行啊，在今天呢，已经不够了。
Of course, the basic needs in the past are not sufficient nowadays.
我们还要加上一些什么娱乐啊、教育啊，还有娱乐吧啊。
We may add onto it entertainment, education, etc.
但是这句话基本的意思呢，就是我们所追求的应该是生活的需要，而不是贪婪的想要。
The meaning is that we should go after the basic needs of life, but not excessive enjoyment.
其实我们生活的需要呢，并不是很多的。
Actually, we don't need a lot in our lives.
倒是想要的呢，还真是不少。
But we want a lot.
常常都是什么那种人比人气死人的结果哈。
It is often jealousy that kills people.
当然，社会的变化呢，使得过去的奢侈品会变成今天的必需品。
But nowadays, many articles of luxury in the past have become basic necessities.
你想刚开始有手机的时候，那玩意好像是奢侈品，现在是必需品。
For example, the phone, our mobile phone.
那么智能手机出来以后呢，一开始也是奢侈品，那么现在也是必需品。
Smartphone also used to be luxury, but now it's basic necessity.
但是无论如何，基督徒如果能够顺从圣灵，应该会知道什么到了什么程度呢，就够了，可以了，该知足了。
But if a Christian really obeys the Holy Spirit, he should know to which extent we should be satisfied, we should be content.
否则就会有后面第九节跟第十节所说的那些后果和那些状况。
Otherwise, we will face the consequence that is told in verse 9 and 10.
那么第九节讲想要发财的字面的翻译呢，是决意要不断的增加财富。
In verse 9, the word wants to get rich means be determined to incessantly increase wealth.
于是就处处找机会，不放弃任何机会增加财富，这就是贪婪的表现。
It means to spare no chance, no single effort to become rich. This is greed.
这里说到有两种受害的人。
Actually, there are two kinds of victims here.
一种就是那些对财富贪得无厌的人。
One kind of victim is those who are greedy.
他们会陷在迷惑、网罗还有有害的私欲里。
So they will fall into temptation and trap and many foolish and harmful desires.
超富阶级啊，有抑郁症的、酗酒的、吸毒的、吃官司坐牢的，并不少见。
Look at the super rich class. They have. It's common for them to have depression, excessive drinking, and drug issues.
但是他们固然是自作自受，但是有更多的人会因为他们受害。
They kind of deserve it, but more people will be hurt by them.
你看 CEO 啊，就如果贪恋高额的奖金，要降低成本，使得公司的财务好看。
CEO may, in order to make the financial report looks good, he might reduce the cost and lay off many employers.
把资深的员工遣散呢？那现已经是司空见惯了。
It is common to lay off many experienced workers.
那些员工的年龄越高，再找到类似待遇的工作的机会就越小。
The longer they have worked, it is harder for them to find an equivalent job in other companies.
最后，当然有的是降格以求，长期找不到工作，让家庭陷入困境的也不少。
So long-term unemployment may hurt these families.
一个 CEO 的一个贪婪可以使得众多的家庭呢受害。
The greediness of one CEO can hurt many, many families.
那么第十节说呢，贪财呢是万恶之根。
In verse 10, it says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil.
因为人贪财自然就会被引诱离开了真道。
Because these people can be tempted to wander from the faith.
不过即使如此呢，还是有可能会有一些敬虔的表现。
Even so, they may behave very godly.
如果你注意啊，我们读的经文的前面一节第五节有这么说啊。
In verse 5 it says,
有些人是以敬虔为得利的门路。
Many people use godliness as a means to financial gain.
美国即使在十年前还有些议员官员啊宣称啊他们相信圣经的价值观，坚决反对像同性恋这些婚姻的问题。那么今天有几个敢这么说的？
Like a decade ago, many government officials still dare to claim that they believe in biblical values, they are opposed to same-sex marriage, but today, who dare to say so?
所以从这个西方这个选举来看啊。
So, observing from this election,
今天的政客啊，几乎不可能不贪财。
It is almost impossible for the politicians today to not to be greedy.
因为你不贪财，大概只有改行。
Or the option could only be find another job.
没有雄厚的财力，在美国根本没有办法竞选能够有点分量的职位嘛。
It's impossible to run for any significant position today without deep pockets.
所以对于政客来说呢，圣经的价值观只是一个工具。
So for these politicians, the biblical values are no more than a tool.
有利于当选就被重视，否则就会被抛弃。
If it helps in the election, it can be valued, otherwise it will be abandoned.
那么因为他只有得到职位才能够有更多的利益呢，可以让他更上一层楼啊。
Because only after he or she acquires the position, he can get more gains and later scale new heights.
所以圣经的教导很清楚，贪婪使人败坏。
So the biblical teaching is pretty clear.
先是不顾道德
corrupt people.
先是不顾道德做缺德的事。
First, they may have some immoral deeds.
然后呢，钻法律漏洞，以身试法，甚至于犯法。
Later, they may take advantage of the law, or they even violate the law.
然而呢，财富基本上就是从什么？某些人的口袋里转到另一些人口袋里，有人发财就必定有人受害。
But in this way, the wealth is merely transferring from one's pocket to the other ones. So if someone gets rich, other people will it's at the cost of other people.
那么去年九月，在医药界爆发了一个令人愤慨的消息。
last September, there was this scandalous news in the drug industry.
那么有一位叫做 Martin Shkreli 的年轻人，当时32岁。
There was this young man, Martin Shkreli, who was only 32 years old.
他玩风险投资，曾经赔掉不少投资人的钱。
He lost a lot of money of investors in venture investment.
但是仍然能够在去年二月呢，招揽到资金啊，设立了一家 Turing 制药公司。
But in last February, he still managed to collect enough funds to build up a pharmaceutical company.
然后呢，在八月的时候，他就买下了一个处方药，叫做 Daraprim 的权利。
In August, he bought the patent of Daraprim, a prescription drug.
这个药呢？是治疗一些罕见致命的寄生虫感染病。
Daraprim can cure a very rare parasitic infection.
那么这个药的专利早就过了。
The patent has already expired.
那么由于需求量不大，在美国没有仿制药的竞争。
Because there was not great demand, so there was also not great generic competition.
所以在美国仍然是独家销售。
So it still enjoyed the exclusive marketing right.
然后呢，这位 Shkreli 在买下这个药的权利一个月后，就把药价呢从13.5块一颗涨到750块一颗。
After buying the patent, one month after, he raised the price from $13.50 to $750.
那么超过了55倍。
He raised it by 55 times.
那么症状严重的病人一天需要2到3颗，也就是一天的药费变成1500到2250块。
Some patients may need 2 or 3 pills a day, so their expenses of medicine may raise from $1,500 to $2,250 per day.
当时引发了极大的反弹。
It has caused great reaction.
但是这个 Shkreli 拒绝降价。
But Shkreli refused to lower the price.
他认为涨价完全合法。
He thought it was totally reasonable.
他竟然还说后悔没有涨到1000块一颗。
He even said he regretted not raising it to $1,000 a pill.
那么他在网上向朋友宣称呢，他的财富因此可以很快再增加6000万。
He even told his friend online that his wealth could quickly rise up to $60 million.
同时炫耀呢，他刚喝了一瓶9000元的红酒。
He even bragged that he had just drank a bottle of wine worth $9,000.
那么其实类似的医药投机事件呢，并不少。
Actually, similar speculative actions are not rare in the drug industry.
有些治疗罕见疾病的处方药。
Many subscription drugs that are used to cure rare diseases.
当初研发制作是有得到某些机构的条件补助。
They're developed with the help of some organizations by conditional subsidies.
通常是某些盈利机构为了帮助患者群体。
非盈利机构
啊，
非盈利机构，
非盈利机构呀，非盈利机构。
Okay, it is many non-profit organizations wanted to help the patients.
啊，就补助治疗某些特殊药的研发。
So they grant subsidies to help the development of these drugs.
啊，那么条件是研发成功之后呢，药的售价必须合理。
The only condition was that the drug should be sold at a reasonable price.
那么，然而制药公司后来会因为呢利润不够高，就把权利转卖。
Usually, the pharmaceutical company will sell the right of the drug because there was not great profit.
那么买主就不受限制，他就可以涨价个10倍、20倍，这不稀奇。
Later, the owner might raise the price by 10-20 times.
那么 Shkreli 贪婪到涨价55倍呢，才引起了注意。
Shkreli was so greedy to raise the price by 55 times until he was noticed.
那讽刺的是呢，他反而因此惹了麻烦。
Ironically, he got himself into trouble.
他原来只是在风险投资界声名狼藉。
At first, he was only notorious in the venture investment.
有一些犯罪的事情，但是呢，因为不是那么瞩目，没有被注意。
He wasn't really noticed.
但是这件事情使得他的声名大噪啊，成了世界级的恶棍呢。
But this, this thing made him a villain known by the whole world.
那么 FBI 因此开始调查他过去牵涉到的弊案。
So FBI opened a case for to investigate on him.
然后就在去年12月17号呢，他被逮捕起诉了。
He was arrested on the 17th of December.
那罪名当然不是把药涨价，而是欺诈，从前干过欺诈的事情。
He was not prosecuted for raising the drug price, but by for fraud.
他有他的公司，他的官司还在进行。
His lawsuit is still in process.
但是呢，他有把握不会有事的。
But he's confident he will be okay.
因为他的身价估计有2亿啊，那有的是贪婪想发财的律师乐于为他服务的。
Because many greedy lawyers would love to serve him because of his possessions worth $200 million.
美国离弃了圣经的价值观，贪婪的社会风气是主要的原因。教会有没有责任呢？
So the United States has deviated from the biblical teaching, mainly because greed is pervasive in today's society. Isn't church responsible for this?
从70年代的末期开始，以福音派为主的美国教会就开始呼吁社会。
In the end of 1970s, the evangelical Christians appeal to the society.
要恢复重视圣经的价值观。
To go back to biblical values,
但是他们强调的敬虔呢、啊，就是包括就是差不多是公立学校应该有自愿参加的课堂前祷告晨祷。
But the godliness they were talking about, was like voluntary morning prayer in public schools.
堕胎、同性恋违背圣经。
That abortion and same-sex.And homosexuality are against the Bible.
基督徒信仰的权利应该被尊重。
Christians' rights of faith should be respected.
但是几乎不提要有知足的心。
But they barely mention contentment.
到了80年代
，In the 1980s,
美国掀起了创业致富的风潮。
The wave of getting rich through enterprise pioneering started.
那么其实大多数的风险投资是默默无闻的失败结束啊。
Actually, most venture investments ended up in failure without being noticed.
那么少数的成功者就被媒体捧成了这种被羡慕效法的对象。
The few winners are flattered by the media and imitated by the society.
那么贪婪弥漫了社会。
Greediness permeated in the society.
无止境的追求奢华生活腐蚀了人心。
The incessant love for luxurious life corrupted the hearts of men.
那么商业道德已经荡然无存。
Commercial ethics didn't work anymore.
公司高层的主管呢，牺牲薪水阶级员工来制造利润。
The high level executives of the companies, make more profits at the cost of the working class.
然后呢，勾结董事们呢，吞吃利润。
They collude with board directors to eat up more profits.
国会议员接受他们的政治现金，就配合修法，为他们运作提供方便和保护。
Congressmen accept political donations from them to modify the laws to protect them and facilitate them.
那么30多年下来，中产阶级就受了重伤萎缩啊。那么低收入阶级还有贫富呢，就扩大了。
In 3 decades, the middle class significantly shrinked, and the low-income households and low-income households expanded.
那么超富阶级的财富就快速的膨胀。
The wealth of the super-rich class rapidly expanded.
我们可以看一些统计啊。
Let's take a look at the statistics.
那么1993年到2014年呢、啊？美国人的收入50%是落入了1%的人的手中。
From 1993 to 2014, 50% of the American income fall into the hands of only 1% of the population.
那么在2015年呢， 0.1% 的啊，就是500户的人啊，16500户的人家拥有90%的私有美国总体私人财产。
In 2015, like 0.1% of the population, it means 16,500 households own 90% of the total private possessions in the United States.
然后呢 ，Fortune 500的公司的执行长，还有一般员工平均收入的对比是什么呢
？The ratio of the executives of the Fortune 500 companies to the income of average workers，
在1980年的时候是42倍，到了2014年已经变成373倍了。
The ratio in 1980 was 42 times. In 2014.It was 373 times.
我提出这些不是因为嫉妒他们。
I don't mention this because I'm jealous of them.
我要指出的是
，I need to point out
这些人中间绝大部分赚取财富不是凭着正经的本事。
Most people didn't get rich because of their own talents or merit.
而是违背道德和法律的歪门邪道。
But they get rich in crooked ways that.Go against biblical teachings.
那更不要说是违背圣经了吧？啊
，Of course, they go against the Bible.
那么，美国中产阶级形成于二战之后呢？不仅是国家经济的支柱，也是维护基督教的社会主流。
Formed after the World War II, the American middle class was not only the economic pillar of the country, but also the mainstream that defend the Christian values.
那么，如今呢？奄奄一息啊，就想要捍卫圣经价值观呢，也是愈振乏力了。
Nowadays it's dying out. Even it is willing to defend biblical values, it cannot do so.
那么就像随个人偏好上男女厕所，即使10年前敢被提出来吗
？For example, like 10 years ago, there are many people say that they can use the restroom according to their own gender identity.
那么。今天却是理直气壮哈，任何质疑呢，都还会被指责为歧视、不包容。
Today their allegation is just and forceful. Any doubt on it will immediately be accused of discrimination and intolerance.
所以我们要醒悟啊。
So we should wake up.
这些都是魔鬼打击基督教所表现出来的现象。
We should be aware of how Satan is striking the church.
魔鬼。有他的时间表
Satan has his timetable
他还有很多的伎俩会一一的使用出来
And he will use his tricks to us, onto us one by one
我们等一下再看更凶恶的
We may see more vicious examples later
美国社会离弃圣经的价值观教会是有责任的
Churches are responsible for the United States abandoning biblical values
因为将近40年来，美国主流教会强调的是表面的虔诚，却对于贪婪这个破口视而不见，避而不谈。
Because in the last 40 years, American mainstream churches only emphasize superficial godliness, but appear to be ignorant of the breach of greediness.
那么，圣经的教导很清楚，敬虔必须包括知足的心。
The Bible says clearly that godliness must include contentment.
美国主流教会几乎都不呼吁啊，贪财违背圣经。
American churches rarely condemn greediness.
那么更不谴责贪婪的恶行，还有不公平的结果。
They also fail to mention the evil consequences and unfair results of these greedy deeds.
为什么呢
？Why?
因为教会本身也有贪婪的破口，而且也不想堵住。
Because churches also have this breach of greediness, and they don't even want to block it.
Yeah. 那么美国在美国赫赫有名的传道人啊，这个年收入超过100万、身价上千万亿的都有。
So many famous、
啊、也不少。
Many famous evangelists in the United States are millionaires, billionaires.
他们的讲员费是按照知名度呢，比照社会的名流啊。
Their lecture fees can be compared to those of the celebrities.
而且要求是飞机要坐头等舱，酒店要住五星级啊，那最起码也要四星，如果没有五星的话。
They fly in first class cabin and live in 4 or 5 star hotels.
那么其实贪婪使得美国正在进入一个大灾难。
So greed has put the United States into a great catastrophe.
无论两党的候选人中谁是下任总统，情况只会更糟。
No matter who will be the next president, the situation can be only worse.
神也借着这些现象呢，再给基督徒一个警告，该觉醒了。
God is also alerting with this phenomenon to.
因为神有他的时间表。
It is time to wake up. God has His timetable.
真正在乎神的基督徒要有一个信心的回应，要以行动来回应。
True Christians should have a faithful response.
我们看第十一节啊。
Let's look at verse 11.
这一节包含了两个惊叹，还有两个命令啊。按照文法的翻译是啊，前面一句是说，但是哦，你这属神的人呐、啊，躲避这些啊。
So there are two exclamations and two commands in this verse.
那么第一个有讲到说哦。这两个命令，一个就是躲避这些，另外一个是追求公义、敬虔、信心等等。
One command is to flee from all this, and the other is pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness.
是很严肃的命令。
It is a very serious command.
属神的人必须追求耶稣的品格。
Godly man should pursue the character of Jesus.
光有外表的虔诚、敬虔是做不到的。
It is not enough to have only a godly appearance.
必须要有知足的心，才能避免那些贪婪的行为。
We must have contentment to avoid the greedy deeds.
好，那么第十二节的前半也是两个命令句啊，它的翻译字面的翻译应该是要尽力为这信仰打漂亮仗啊，要抓紧从被召所得到的永生。
The first half of verse 12 also include two commands.It demands us to fight the good fight and also take hold of the eternal life.
好，那么呢，所以呢，这个后面这一节呢，啊，这十二就是说，见证呢，耶稣就是一场争斗，啊，必须竭尽全力才能有好的结果。
Verse 12 is telling us, it is a fight of all effort to witness Jesus. You may only triumph when you spare no effort.
而且要以确信永生来做支撑。
You may only win standing on the firm faith in eternal life.
我们确信永生才能够追求耶稣的品格，否则呢就很难避免那些贪婪的行为。
We can only pursue the Jesus character instead of greedy acts only if we have confidence in eternal life.
我们向人见证耶稣要注意啊，他们也是见证人呢、啊。
We should notice that those we witness Jesus to are also witness us.
他们会根据我们的生活行为来判断我们对耶稣的见证呢是可信的还是可笑的。
They would decide according to our daily acts whether our witness of Jesus is authentic or ridiculous.
好，然后呢，十四节告诉我们，主耶稣再来有他的时间表。
In verse 14, we can tell there's a timetable. There's a time for Jesus Christ returning.
他再来的时候到了，就必回来向我们显现。
When it is time, he will come back to appear to us.
那么他给我们那些严肃的命令，是为了提醒我们要准备见他。
The serious commands of him, are said to alert us to get ready for his returning.
我们今天思想这个经文呢，其实还颇针对美国的现况。
The scripture we contemplate on today is actually relevant to the status quo of the United States.
它经文先指出为什么以基督教精神立国的美国呢，却会离弃了圣经的价值观。
It pointed out why, in the United States, a nation founded on Christian values nowadays are deviating from biblical teachings.
也包括了主流教会表面虔诚的影响。
It also points out the bad consequences of superficial godliness.
然后提醒基督徒要全力以赴准备 主耶稣再来。
It also alerts Christians to spare no effort to get prepared for the returning of Jesus.
问题是凭什么说主耶稣这回可是真的要回来了？
But why can we say so sure that Jesus is will come back?
你看，从教会初代教会开始，主耶稣要回来的说法就是不断嘛。
Since early Christian church, there have been many different theories on the returning of Jesus.
结果两千年了也没有发生呢。
But nothing's happening these 2,000 years.
那难道有什么更有说服力的迹象吗？
Are there any convincing signs?
我们刚才看到美国的一个大灾难是贪婪造成的。
We have just seen that a great disaster of the United States is caused by greed.
还有一个更大的灾难正在酝酿。
There's another disaster which is in the womb of time.
也就是我上次也提到过伊斯兰势力的入侵。
Which is the Islamic expansion.
其实啊，可以讲 invasion 啊，
invasion.
其实不只是美国了，西欧国家的情势还比较恶劣。
The situation is even worse in West Europe.
美国和西欧国家政府呢，他们一方面哈、积极的配合伊斯兰势力的借着大量的移民还有高出生率来入侵。
On the one hand, the Western governments actively facilitate the Islamic invasion, which take place in the form of large.Scale immigration and high birth rate.
另一方面呢，又全力压制自己国民的反弹。
On the other hand, they oppress the resistance of their own citizens.
那么，对于伊斯兰势力的恐怖攻击所造成的重大损失伤害呢，总是避重就轻、淡化处理。
As for the damage, the terrorist attacks, of the Islamic power, they only mention lightly.
那么这是1917年制作给美国陆军用于两次大战期间呢征兵海报啊。
So here is a poster.
这个刚刚忘了打啊，请你们稍微看一下就知道。
So here is a poster designed in 1917. It is used for two world wars to recruiting soldiers for the American Navy.
啊，那么这位代表美国山姆大叔哈。Uncle Sam 说啊，指着看海报的人说，我要你加入美国陆军。
Uncle Sam is pointing to the reader, I want you in the Navy.
那么今年2016年有新山姆大叔的海报出来了。
In 2016, we have a new Uncle Sam poster.
他说了什么话呢？
What does he say?
我要你停止畏惧其他的种族、宗教、性偏好、性别认同、移民。你是美国人，就要如此表现。
I want you to stop being afraid of other races, other religions, other sexual preferences, other gender identities, other immigrants. You're an American. Act like it.
那么意思其实很清楚，就是美国人必须完全接纳穆斯林和同性恋。
Americans must fully accept Muslim immigrants and homosexuality.
那么讽刺的是。
Ironically,
Muslims
themselves don't accept homosexuality.
同性恋在穆斯林地区是要被处死的。
Homosexual, so gay may face death penalty in Muslim regions.
大力倡导接纳同性恋的西方国家政府呢，对于穆斯林处死同性恋却是装聋作哑。
The Western governments who facilitate homosexuality.They seem to pretend to be ignorant of the Muslims' radical stance against gay.
这一章呢，新山姆大叔海报说出了西方自由主义的双重标准。
So the new Uncle Sam poster tells us about the double standard of the neoliberalism of the Western world.
他们大力倡导言论自由、宗教自由、性倾向自由、性别认定自由等等。
They advocate for the freedom of speech, religion, sexual orientation, and gender identity.
却避而不谈，在穆斯林世界，这些自由根本不存在。
But they avoid talking about the non-existence of these kind of freedoms in the Muslim world.
质疑、批评伊斯兰，向穆斯林传福音，还有同性恋者都会被处死的。
Actually, people who question Islam, people who preach the gospel to Muslims, the and gay people may face death penalty in Muslim countries.
那么在美国那些心怀不轨啊，还能够理直气壮呢去用女厕所的男人呢，在穆斯林的地区是绝对没有那个胆子。
The men who use women restroom with evil intentions never dare to do so, do the same in Muslim countries.
但是西方世界有人指出在穆斯林世界的人根本没有这些自由派所提倡的自由的事实。
The Western world fails to point out that this kind of freedom never exists in Muslim world.
这些说实话的人就会被指责为种族歧视、宗教歧视。
People who tell these truths can be accused of discrimination based on race and religion.
那么穆斯林完全不接纳非穆斯林是众所周知的。可兰经清楚的命令穆斯林是要伊斯兰化全球，消灭所有的异教徒。
Actually, the Muslim intolerance of non-Muslim is widely known. Quran commands clearly that Muslims should occupy the whole globe and wipe out all the pagans.
这里已经很清楚地看到他们强调伊斯兰教法要将会在全球实行的。
So it is a clear message that their law.Should be implanted in the whole world.
所以呢，这其实不只是美国和西欧的问题。
Actually, this is not only an issue of the United States or the West Europe.
而且是所有非伊斯兰地区迟早要面对的灾难。
It is also a disaster that all the non-Muslim regions will face sooner or later.
基督教当然是他们眼中的头号敌人了。
Of course, Christianity is their enemy number one.
只要时机成熟，必定会消灭基督教。
Whenever it is time, they will do everything possible to destroy Christianity.
奇怪的是呢，美国和西方国家的政府呢，竟然会自杀性的引狼入室啊。
Curiously, the United States and the government of the United States and West Europe are so suicidal to open the door to a dangerous person.
还帮助他们壮大，好像要等着被他们消灭。
And even kind of help them to expand, waiting to be destroyed.
伊斯兰化美国呢，已经是在悄悄的进行之中。
Actually, the Islamization is gradually in progress in the United States.
但是呢，政府和媒体都尽量低调淡化呢。要避免惊动那个主流的百姓。
But the government and the media seem to be underplaying its influence in order not to disturb the mainstream people.
2007年，可兰经已经首次被使用，用来宣誓就职联邦参议员 Keith Ellison.
So in 2007, Quran was for the first time was sworn in with.By House Representative Keith Ellison.
这不是一个简单的一个宗教自由的问题。
It's not a simple issue of religious freedom.
官员、议员可以用可兰经宣誓就职代表呢，他会根据可兰经的原则执行他的职位、职权。
It means the government officials will fulfill their political functions according to the principles of Quran.
那么暴力攻击非穆斯林呢，不仅合法，而且是应该被鼓励的。
So the Quran tells us that violent acts against non-Muslims are justifiable and should be encouraged even.
西方国家在西方国家长大新一代的穆斯林呢，的确有超过四分之一的人认为暴力攻击非穆斯林是合情合理的。
Among the new generation of Muslims in the Western countries,more than one-fourth of them believe that violent acts against non-Muslims are totally justifiable.
那美国穆斯林人口估计大约500万。
The Muslim population in the United States is about 5 million.
出生率却是全国平均出生率的六倍。
But the Muslim birth rate is 6 times of the average.
那么中东地区的战乱使得美国放宽接受穆斯林难民。
The warfare in the Middle East even led the American government lose the restrictions to accept Muslim refugees.
那么过去三年，美国接受中东地区穆斯林难民呢，超过了墨西哥和加拿大移民的总和。
In the past 3 years, the United States has accepted more Muslim refugees from Middle East more than the total immigrants from Mexico and Canada.
但是令人不解的是啊，那基督徒难民几乎全部被拒绝。
But it is puzzling that the Christian refugees were almost all rejected.
去年2015年，美国国务院签发超过100,000签证给穆斯林难民。
Last year, the State Council of the United States granted 100,000 visas to Muslim refugees.
并且使用纳税人的公款负担他们来美国的费用。
They even pay for their travel expenses with the money of American taxpayers.
还有在这边能够安身啊安就立足啊的需要的钱。
Also, they also pay for their expenses of settlement.
但是有几个基督教机构募了款。要帮助一些中东地区的基督徒难民来美国。
But when a few Christian organizations offered money to help the Christian refugees to come to the United States,
国务院不但拒绝发签证，而且还拒绝说明理由。
The council not only refused to grant visa, but also refused to explain why.
主流的媒体通常不报道这些的。
And mainstream media failed to report these events.
所以主流的百姓多半被蒙在鼓里。
So many people are ignorant of these facts.
这种种迹象的背后其实是一场属灵的征战。
So all these signs point to a spiritual war.
就是我刚刚所说魔鬼打击基督教的另一个可怕的伎俩。
This is another trick of Satan.How he strikes the Christian church.
你看，西方国家的政客用表面堂皇的理由，什么人道啊，宗教包容，大量接受穆斯林。
The politicians of Western countries use very good-looking excuses such as humanism and religious tolerance to accept large numbers of Muslims,
却完全拒绝同一地区的基督徒难民。
While they reject Christian refugees from the same region,
无论背后呢不可告人的原因是什么呢，必定也是魔鬼的伎俩。
No matter what is the motive behind, it should be a trick of Satan.
那么穆斯林一旦掌控一个地区，是不会给其他族群翻身的机会。
Once Muslims take control of an area, they will not give people the chance to turn over.
那么当大部分西方人民觉悟的时候呢，大概也就太迟了。
It will be too late for the Western people to wake up.
所以基督徒应该觉醒。
So Christians should wake up.
面对这个史无前例的灾难啊，我们只能够靠主耶稣出手搭救。
Facing this unprecedented disaster, we can only save by Jesus Christ.
刚才的经文也告诉我们，到了时候呢，他必定会来的。
The scripture has just told us.When it is time, he will come back.
那么最后的17-19节的信息就是呢，分享财富给有需要的人，其实对自己有好处的。
So the message from verse 17-19 tells us, to share your wealth with people in need is kind of your own gain.
按照这个情况的发展。
So in this situation.
财富能够帮助人脱离穆斯林的手吗
？Can wealth help people be saved from the hands of Muslims？
呀，西方世界如果是穆斯林化的话，伊斯兰化的话，那么呢，这些财富又能你有这些财富又能去哪里啊
？Well, where will these fortune go to if the Western world is Islamized？
呀，就算这些超富阶级的话，他也没地方可躲吧
？Even those super rich class, they have nowhere to.To escape.
那命都不保了，那些财产还不是就落入了那些伊斯兰教主啊又偷了的口袋里去了。
The wealth can only fall into the hands of the Islamic leaders.
主耶稣再来搭救我们的时候，我们根本不需要带着财产去见他吧。
Do we need to take our wealth with us when Jesus saves us?
那么彼得前书啊2:11告诉我们说啊。
In 1 Peter chapter 2:11.
在世界的日子呢是客旅
We are aliens and strangers in the world
旅程的终点呢是和主耶稣见面
The final destination is our encounter with Jesus
所以我们就像啊在同一架飞机上的乘客
So we are like passengers on the same flight
那么主耶稣回来就是飞机降落的时刻了
The returning of Jesus is like the moment of landing.
我们会觉得乘客们在那个飞机上面应该会希望快点降落，对吧？
Maybe as passengers, we hope for a sooner landing of the plane.
特别如果你有机会什么去台湾、中国十几个小时，大概总希望赶快降落吧。
Especially when you have a long journey, for example, to Taiwan, China, maybe you look forward to a sooner landing.
其实未必啊，要看你坐的是什么样子的位置嘛。
Not really, actually it depends on your cabin.
Yeah, 经济舱的乘客呢，应该都希望赶快降落吧。
The passengers in the economic cabin may really look forward to a sooner landing.
但是这个头等舱的乘客的感觉也许不一样哎。
But the passengers in the first class cabin may not feel the same.
哎，这还挺舒服的嘛，急什么呢？
Isn't it cozy here? Why hurry?
Yeah, 我记得我有一次分享过嘛，去过在读神学院的期间去过台湾那么多次，就那么一次被这个升舱了。
As I mentioned before,during the many journeys I did to Taiwan, there was only once I was upgraded.
哎，那一次我还真不急的要降落哎，我觉得挺好的嘛，再多飞一下。
For that only time, I didn't really look forward to the landing. I wanted to the journey to take longer.
至于那些啊，可以坐这种叫做什么，叫做套房舱的乘客哈。
For the suite cabin passengers,
他有卧室，还有淋浴哈。
Who have bedroom and shower?
他根本不希望飞机降落，在我看来。
They may never want the plane to land.
整个旅程中间，唯一让他会难过的就是降落。
The only upset moment during the journey might be the landing moment.
但是时候到了，飞机还是必须降落的。
But the plane will go down when it is time.
同样时候到了主耶稣也会来的。
The same, when it is time, Jesus will come back.
问题是我们真的希望他快来吗？
The issue is, do we really look forward to his returning?
还是主啊不急啊您慢慢来吧。
Or we're like, Lord, no hurry. Take your time.
Take your time. 答案应该和我们在世界上拥有多少也有点关系吧。
Our answer actually depends on our involvement with this world.
我们希望主再来的程度也必然会影响到我们如何预备与他相会吧。
Our zealousness with the returning of Jesus will surely affect how we get ready to meet him.
既然主耶稣应许他必定会再来。
Since Jesus Christ has promised that he will come back.
我们就要按着圣经的教导。
We must stick to the biblical teachings.
要有知足的心。
To have contentment.
丢掉贪婪的心
and abandon greediness,
预备主的再来
to get ready for the returning of Jesus.
我们一起祷告
Let's pray.
主耶稣，我们向你献上感谢，因为你给我们的应许，让我们再一次的看到你都知道整个事情在发生。
Lord Jesus, we thank you again for your precious promise that you're seeing everything occurring in this world.
其实你并没有忘记我们。
You never forget about us.
你要我们预备好来见你。
You ask us to get ready for your returning.
求圣灵帮助我们能够有知足的心，丢掉贪婪的心，在生活上面预备好与主相见。
May the Holy Spirit help us to have contentment and abandon greediness to prepare for your returning.
在世界上有主的看顾。
With your gardens in this world,
与主见面的时候能够得到赏赐。
We will be awarded when meeting you again.
这样祷告，不配奉靠耶稣基督的圣名。
We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.